Well, grace and peace to you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I joked with the ministerial group this week that I met with that Lutherans for a long time we've not really been known for our evangelistic activities. You know, we're not handing out tracts on the street corner or sitting on soapboxes and preaching out in the public square or anything like that. But our evangelism program for many generations now has been having Lutheran babies. Thanks to the Stenbergs for carrying on that tradition this week. And we rejoice to share this baptismal moment and miraculous day with you guys. I was sharing them as we were preparing. It's really a wonderful thing to enter this world through the waters of baptism. We come into the public life and living among people in this world through God's grace and through God's mercy offered to us in the baptismal font. And it is always a glorious Sunday when we get to begin at the waters of baptism. We believe that in these waters we are eternally sealed by God's grace forever. And it is through baptism that we are claimed as God's own, adopted as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father for all eternity. Pretty cool, huh? We emerge from the holy waters and embark on our eternal journey with our Creator. If we are being honest, there's much to our theology about baptism that can be actually quite disconcerting, though, and especially when it comes to baptizing our children. Not only do we believe that we are baptized from life into life, that is surely part of our sacramental ritual, but we also believe that we are baptized into Christ's death. Into death. Baptized into death. This is heavy stuff when it comes to baptizing children. I didn't cause Jacob any physical harm, did I? Okay. And we hear about this in the words from Paul, which I will read once again, which he wrote to the ancient Romans. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him and a resurrection like his. We descend into the dead with the Son of God who was crucified on the cross so many centuries ago. Through these sacred waters, we join our deaths with the death of our Savior. Then, miraculously, our lives are resurrected from the grave along with the very same Christ who was nowhere to be found when they searched his tomb 3 days later. The focus on baptizing into Christ's death was central to the early church practice. In many early church buildings, baptismal founts were actually dug into the floor of the church. Those being baptized would literally descend into the earth, signifying that they were dying to their lives in this world. They symbolically practiced dying so that they might experience resurrection within the church service. That is what came next. As they arose from the waters, they experienced rising from death up to resurrected life. They emerged from the deathly waters of baptism to be embraced in the eternal life that Christ offers to all of us. It's kind of heart-wrenching and very cool at the same time, at least if you ask this church nerd. As a pastor who baptizes, I gotta say, I don't really relish in the idea of leading others to death. It seems like something that would garner like a headline. Local Ronan pastor kills people for Christ. I don't actually do that. That's not exactly what I want to be known for. Yet we all know that death lurks around the corner, and hiding from it does not do us any favors. So in our baptism, we embrace the fact that we will die. And we are embraced in the miraculous, resurrected life that we will share with Christ, the resurrected life which comes from the tragedy of our dying. This is powerful stuff. Now, in some ways, the deaths that we contemplate with our baptism mirror our Old Testament reading for today. Our reading from Zephaniah speaks about the day of the Lord when the people shall be punished for their complacency, their silver and gold plundered, and they will experience much distress and anguish. Now, having been a pastor for a few years now, I have to point out that I often get stuck with texts about the apocalypse on days that I'm performing baptisms. I mean, really, this was the case for Otto's baptism, and I know of at least one other. Can't I catch a break? Makes me sit back and say, really, God? Can't you throw me a bone on this one? Can't you at least give me a passage about Elisha killing false prophets or the Tower of Babel? Anything else, really. Just give me something else to preach on. Can't seem to catch a break in my preaching. Now, reading from today prophesied about the people in Jerusalem experiencing their own apocalypse, the end of life as they knew it, saying, their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. Kind of a hard text to reconcile with welcoming a child into the kingdom of God, don't you think? Man, cannot catch a break. And yet, if I'm being honest in others' ways, I have to say that the very point of this reading and the point of our Christian practice of baptizing into Christ's death so that we might rise with him, in this whole business, life itself does not give us a break. If we think that everything will always be easy and joyous all the time, then we are sorely mistaken. As many of us know all too well, life all the way along brings with its own tragedies, its own deaths, its own darkness. Now the prophet Zephaniah said that the day of the Lord was coming soon because the people believed that nothing bad would happen to them. They believed that they were the Lord's chosen, so nothing ill would ever befall them. They believed that they had it essentially made in the shade, so they became complacent, having no cares for the Lord's will for their lives. The people of that time, at least according to the prophet, cared primarily about their possessions and gave little thought to their Creator. They went about their lives being content with what they did, content with what they owned, and content with what they loved. And they were all secured, believed that they were all secured for them, regardless of how they sinned against their neighbors and how they sinned against their God. So when the Lord's day was to come, it would not be a happy one for them. I say to you today, the opposite is true for us who have been baptized into the death of our Lord. We do not live our lives expecting that everything is peachy keen, but understand that there are many dark things in this world and dark ends to our lives. Rather than hide from these things, we confront the darkness of our world in the waters of baptism, dying to death itself so that we might rise to new life with Christ himself. Unlike the people of Zephaniah's day, we do not shrink back from the things that would make us unhappy or uncomfortable, but face them head on while trusting that God is greater than any evil we will ever face in this world. So while I gripe that I have had to preach on passages like this about the Lord's day, about the apocalypse, on our baptism days, more than I would choose on my own, I gotta say, I'm secretly glad that I'm challenged with the task. It does not make for easy sermon writing, let me tell you. Earlier this week, knowing that we would be baptizing Jacob today, I read the text and almost started banging my head against the wall. Let me tell you for a fact that there is a blessed truth in facing our ends with our beginnings. You see, God desires for us to be as children, trusting in the care of our parents without hardly any fears, because we are under the protection of the one who loves us. Though the world has other plans for us, for sure. There are countless ways in which our lives can go sideways on us, drawing us into darkness. Still, we trust in the one who loves us, and trust that the one who loves us is greater than any powers of evil or darkness in our lives. So we confront them here today and remember every day of our lives that evil is confronted in the waters of our baptism. And we take heart in the truth that God has overcome death and evil by dying himself and rising again from the grave. Brothers and sisters, if we embrace Christ's death, then through the gift of baptism, we trust that we are embraced in Christ's resurrection. What we have experienced here today is nothing short of miraculous. Though it can be heart-wrenching to contemplate our mortality, especially the mortality of our newborns, there is infinite joy in trusting that God loves us into eternity. Praise be to the God who loves our little ones and loves the entire world with no end. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.